Amen. In Jesus' name, all of the God's people said, amen and amen. We praise the Lord today because He's a good and great God. Hey, did you have a good week, Life Community? A couple of you did? All right. Good for you. Good for you. Well, we hope you had a good week as we gather here today to worship the Lord and celebrate Him on this Lord's Day. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about living with certainty. And we understand that there's lots of things in this world that we are uncertain of. We are uncertain of what our future will turn out to look like. We're uncertain of certain situations and things like that. But what we've hoped has happened over the last few weeks, that we have encouraged you that there are some things, though life can be very rocky at times and life can be very much in flux at times, that there are some things you can bank on and there are some things that you can be certain of and you can trust in. And let's just review those real quick if you remember. I know all of you all remember what we preached about, right, the last few weeks. I know every one of you have a photogenic memory and you can recall that. But let's just think about it real quick, all that we talked about. We began on Easter and we began talking about that we can be certain of eternal life. Did you know today that the Bible ensures us that if we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. We will be saved. We can be certain of that if we call on the name of the Lord, we can be saved. We also talked about that we can trust in Scripture, that Scripture is not something that's been tampered with over time. Scripture has withstood the historical test, and we can bank on Scripture today. We know that the Bible is true. The Bible is legit. We believe that Scripture can be trusted, and we know that. So we talked about that. Then we talked about prayer, that we can be certain that when we pray, that God does hear our prayers, is that we're not just talking into thin air, but if we pray in the name of Jesus and through Christ, then He hears us and we can pray. And last week we talked about that we can know that we are not on this world by accident, that we are not a mistake, that we are not here by chance, but we are planned and that God has a purpose for us. And you can be certain in this life that you have purpose, that you have meaning, that you have that meaning fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So there are some things in life that you can be certain of. And we want to conclude this message, these series of messages about one more thing that you can be certain of. And I believe that if you take this one, and we save this one for last, because if you are certain of this, everything else just kind of falls in place. If you're certain of the first one, which is eternal life, and you're certain of this one, and you put those two together, everything else in the middle just kind of makes sense. If you know you're saved, and then you're certain that you have hope in life, then God just begins to work and do a great work. You take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Mark has already read it. It's on the back of your program today, so you can follow along. Make sure that you're reading Scripture as we go through and we preach the Word today. But Mark read to us from 1 Peter. Let me tell you a little bit about what Peter is doing. This is not the same Peter that we remember as a young, timid, scared kind of guy. A lot's happened to Peter since when he writes this. He has experienced the resurrection. He has preached at Pentecost, and he is now matured. He's no longer a timid, scared kind of guy that he was the night when Christ was betrayed. He is a bold turkey. He loves the Lord. He's the great leader of the church. Peter has changed. He's went from being the loudmouth guy in the days of Jesus to being a great leader in the church, and now he is teaching and investing in to Christians all over. And man, wouldn't all of us like to have a legacy like Peter, that when we get into maturity that we can lead younger Christians and help them? Wouldn't we all like that, that we can leave a legacy behind us? And Peter is leaving a legacy. And as he's leaving a legacy, he's writing to young Christians in the faith that are scattered all throughout the known world and who are also experiencing persecution. Because they're Christians, because they've given their life to Jesus, their family members don't like it, their government doesn't like it, their society doesn't like it, their culture doesn't like it. So a lot of the Christians that Peter are writing to are literally being mistreated because they love Jesus. They're being mistreated because they love Christ. They're not getting invited to certain places. They're getting, their money's, not being accepted when they try to buy something. And in some situations, they are actually being killed for their faith. So Peter is encouraging them. First Peter is all about enduring suffering, enduring hardship, and pressing forward as a Christian. And Mark read it to us, and he talks about this thing called hope. He actually mentions, if you look in the passage, he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope." I like that. He tells these guys, hey, listen, even though you're going through hardship and challenges and frustrations and just things that aren't good, you have a living hope. Now, what does it mean to have a living hope? I mean, what's the difference between a hope and a living hope? Well, living means that it's full of life, that it's not dead, that it's active, it's moving. So it's kind of like this. It's kind of the difference between wishful thinking and confident assurance that it's going to happen. If we wishful think something, it may happen, it may not happen. We might like for it to happen, but it's wishful thinking. But if you have a living hope, you are confident that it's going to work out. You are assured that it's going to happen. Even though you don't see it right now, you believe and you trust and you walk in life like it is going to happen. So a living hope is a hope that's active. It's a hope that's right there with you. It's a hope that's pressing forward. And he tells these Christians, you have a living hope. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just power of positive thought. No, this is for real. Even though you don't see it now, you have a living hope that's walking with you and encouraging you and guiding you and helping you. Folks, did you know today, if you know Jesus, you too have a living hope in your life? You have a hope that walks with you and a hope that you could take with you no matter where you go, no matter what happens in life. You have a hope that won't be robbed from you. You have a hope that will stay with you as a Christian. Think of it like this. Christ brings forgiveness of sins, so we put our hope in Jesus. Jesus makes all things new, so we hope that, and so we put our hope in tomorrow because we know our past will not define us because he's made all things new. We know that heaven will be home. So no matter what happens to my assets, no matter what happens to my stuff, no matter what happens to here on earth to my body, heaven's home. That's a living hope. You hope in Jesus, you hope in heaven, you hope in tomorrow because of a Jesus who has saved us. Max Lucado, anybody ever read Max Lucado? That great Christian writer, he's a pastor. He encourages, he's so encouraging in his writing. He talks about hope and he says this, listen closely. He says, Jesus gives us hope because he keeps us company, has a vision, and knows the way we should go. Listen to that again. Jesus gives us hope because he keeps us company. He's there with us and he has a vision. And he knows the way we should go. When you follow Jesus, boy, you have every reason in the world to be hopeful. You have every reason in the world to press forward because Jesus is alive and he's walking with you and he's telling you stuff and he's leading you and he's guiding you. You don't have to worry. You trust in Jesus. You have a living hope. As I was putting together this sermon and I just began to think about things that I'm hoping for, I'm excited about my little hope that's coming on May 22nd. That's my daughter, by the way. Our second daughter will be born, and her name just so happens to be, or will be, Hope when she's born. Hope Elise Rager will be her name. So I'm hoping for hope today, and I know that hoping for hope is going to be a good thing, and hope's going to come. So I'm excited about hope coming to the Rager house. Hope is coming at the Rager house, and I like that. We're excited about hope and looking forward to her arrival. So, I mean, I'm really excited. I'm hoping that God pours his favor on our family and that he blesses our family and does great things. And you know, I'm excited about that. But also, I'm also excited and hoping that God does a great work with Life Community Church. Aren't you all today? You know, listen, I just want to just for a few minutes before we get into the text, if I can today, can I just share my hopes with you all about this church real quick? Is that fair to do today? Can I just share with you my hopes? I'm going to share with you my hopes, Marshall, whether you want me to or not. Amen. I'm going to do it anyway. But here we go. I'm going to share my hopes with you today about Life Community Church. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm hoping that this grows into a large, great church for Jesus Christ. I'm hoping that we double, if not triple in size by the next year or two. I am. I'm hoping that we double, triple in size in the next year or two. I'm hoping that we get to baptize at least one person every month. I'm hoping for that. I'm also hoping that you all will get excited about soul winning. Excited about evangelism, excited about inviting people that you work with and people that you go to school with or people that are your neighbors that don't know Jesus to come with you. I'm hoping you'll do that. I'm hoping that every Sunday you'll think about, who can I get to come to Life Community this Sunday? Who can I bring and drag with me this Sunday? Amen, bless God. Who can I drag this Sunday to church with? I'm hoping you get that excited. I'm hoping you get that excited about church every Sunday, that you bring somebody. You go knock on doors. You go hand out stuff. You go whatever. You just hope. And you don't go after church people. Go after lost people, right? Go after, hey, we got churches with church people in it already. Go after those that don't know the Lord. Don't know the Lord. And I'm hoping that you get that kind of tenacity about you, that kind of vision about you, that kind of focus. Bring the people here that nobody else wants, because Lord knows we'll take them. Amen. We will. I don't care how big they are, tall they are, small they are, smelly they are, rough they are, crazy they are. Bring them. We'll take them. Last time I checked, Jesus said, hey, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me. Bring them. I don't care. Bring them. We want them because we know God has a plan for their life. I'm hoping that we produce children that love Jesus in our church. I'm hoping that we produce little ones that give their life to Christ and that are involved and memorize Scripture and know the Scripture and lead their other friends to Jesus. I'm so excited about what God's doing. You know, we have all kinds of little ones back there right now, and I'm so excited. Hey, if you don't like kids, Life Community might not be the place for you, okay? Because we a kid-friendly church. We want kids everywhere. And I'm going to tell you this right now. We want babies everywhere. We want children everywhere because they're the hope of tomorrow if they know Jesus. Did you know that? If they know Christ and they're taking Christ, they can give Jesus to other people. I'm also excited and I'm hoping to one day see a full-functioning children's ministry that goes from nursery all the way to 12th grade. I'm hoping for that. And you know what? By the Lord's blessing, and we need to pray for this, I'm excited that when we're going to come through summer, we're going to do a great vacation Bible school, we're going to do a block party for the kids in the Heartland subdivision, we're going to be doing this, and I'm excited that when school starts back up, we're going to get through summer, when school starts back up, we have already reserved the Logsdon Center by faith for Tuesday nights right now. We're praying that may open up to become Wednesday nights, but right now it's Tuesday nights, and we're praying, and we're going to, Lord willing, when the new school year starts, we're going to have Team Kid or Awana or something. I don't know what it is, but we're going to do something just for kids for all ages. Amen. Yo, y'all get more excited about that. And for all ages. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm hoping for that. That we can begin to minister to children. And that's what we want to see God do. Y'all get more excited. Or I'm hoping y'all get more excited today. All right? I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping that our church will continue to grow and to mature as a body of believers. I mean, we're new at this. Everybody's new. We're rough around the edges. We're bootstrapped. Computer stops working. All this kind of stuff. That's who we are. All right? That's who we are. Get used to it. Get used to it. That's Life Community. We're bootstrapped. We got chairs everywhere, cables everywhere. That's how it is, all right? That's who we are. But I'm praying that God continues to grow our church and that we will one day have enough godly men and guys that have matured to become deacons in our church and guys that have matured to do that. I'm excited for the day when we charter and we are birthed officially from our mother church, Buck Creek, and we begin to become a fully constituted church. I'm excited about that. Hey, I'm excited. I'm hoping that this becomes a church planting church. Y'all have heard me say that before, right? So very, very serious about that. Very, very serious about that. I'm hoping that from day one when we charter, when that is finally done and we launch up, I'm ready to bring on a church planting intern who will stay with us for a year, learn how to do it, learn how we do it, and then a year later we send him off with two or three of our people or whatever and they go plant a church somewhere. Isn't that awesome? I'm hoping for that. I want to invest into young men. I want to invest into young people and see them grow. I'm hoping that we invest into young men and see them grow to become godly men and godly fathers and godly church planters and godly deacons. I'm praying for that. I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping that one day God will give us a fully supported staff of associate pastors and youth ministers and children's ministers. I'm praying for that day. I'm hoping for that day, that God will give us a staff that will help lead our church and guide our church to becoming a church planting church and reaching this community and growing. I'm hoping that this will become a place of revival where we can help struggling churches and declining churches, and we can help them grow and to experience, you know, revitalization, that God will lead us to the point one day that we can help struggling churches to come back to where God wants them to be. Won't that be great? Boy, I just dumped all my hope on y'all this morning. Y'all got a big spoonful of hope this morning. You did. But I'm hoping. Guys, listen, I believe God has called Life Community to do great things. I do. I believe it's going to happen. I'm hoping one day we're going to get our own building. I don't know when that'll be. That'll come. But I'm hoping that that building will not be a us thing where we try to make it our carpet color, our stuff, our that. I was telling somebody today, whenever that day comes, I have no idea. Probably years from now when that day comes. But I want that thing to be community-minded, where if there's a family that has a birthday for a little one, that we have rooms that they can always use for birthday parties, that we put up a little coffee shop or something in there to have free Wi-Fi so people, business people in the community can use that during the day to work on their computers, to work. That's just what I want us to be outward focused. Amen. I'm hoping that we're outward focused. We love in kids. We love in new churches. We love in reaching people. We want to make Owensboro better than what it is right now. That's my hope. Boy, I used to got more just buckets of hope everywhere today. We dumping hope left and right around here. But Kenny, I'm so prone to negativity. I am so prone to seeing the cup half empty. But and Kenny, I can't help myself. I can't help myself, but I am so prone to saying, but we've never done it that way. Here's the great thing about a church start. We ain't never done nothing. Nothing. So we can't say that. Ain't that awesome? We've never done nothing. So we do everything for God's cause as long as He's in it. You know, our vision statement that you see in your bulletin every Sunday is that we will discover God's agenda. That just simply means that we are going to be in prayer. We're hoping to be a praying church. And as God gives us opportunities, as God helps us to become kingdom-minded, we envision what He's doing. I'm hoping. I choose not to be negative. I choose to be full of hope. I don't want to live my life as a negative person. There's too much negativity everywhere, amen? Turn on the news and get depressed, hallelujah. It's there. I say the church house is a place of hope. It's a place of hope. Now, Kenny, I sure would like to have some hope this morning. Anybody like some hope in your life today? Maybe you are dealing with maybe hardship, troubles at work, troubles in marriage, trouble in paradise, okay? Whatever it may be, troubles with health, trouble with this. And man, you know you're saved. You believe the Bible. You know God's hearing your prayers. You know that. You know that you have purpose. But it's just hard right now. It's just being real. It's just hard right now. It's just tough. Is there any hope for me? Or how can I become a person of hope? How can I today become full of hope? How, instead of being negative or dwelling in the right now, how can I become a person of hope? I want to just real quickly walk through this today. At five things that we can do today to become people of hope today. First, we hope because of the resurrection. We hope because of the resurrection. Listen to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a... Say this with me. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. Oh, you didn't do it. Let's do it again. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. Good job. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's how we can be people of hope. If you're saved. If you're saved today, you are saved because Jesus went to the cross, He died on the cross, He suffered on the cross, and then 3 days later He rose again. And we believe that to be truth, we believe it to be reality. And if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we place our hope into Him, we have hope because we're saved. So today it's because of the resurrection we have hope. It's because Jesus conquered the dead, because a dead man came back to life, that we have hope today. And here's why we have hope: because of the resurrection. You ready? If Jesus conquered the grave, Jesus can do anything. Is that fair to say? If Jesus came back to life and conquered the grave, Jesus can do anything. And if Jesus is in our lives today, We hope because the dude who whipped death up in the face lives in us, and we too can have hope today. See, we hope because of the resurrection. We are alive today because Jesus is alive. So you don't need to be negative. You don't need to live in doubt because Jesus conquered the grave. And you can have hope today. Second, we have hope because of the inheritance. The inheritance. We have hope because of the inheritance. Verse 4 says, not only are we given a living hope through Jesus, through the resurrection, it says in verse 4, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now listen to this real quick. When you give your life to Jesus, not only do you have Christ dwelling inside of you, the Holy Spirit, He comes, lives inside of you, He helps you make decisions, He gives you power, He gives you anointing, all that that comes when He comes inside your life. But also, hear me on this today, that when you get saved, you have an inheritance that you're going to get. An inheritance that you're going to get. Now, an inheritance is not something that we work for. It's not something that we buy. An inheritance is something that we are given. Why? Because we have a mommy or a daddy who wills it to us. And when it's willed to us, we therefore receive the inheritance. Now, we get an inheritance if we're saved. Now, just look real quick at what this inheritance looks like. It says it's imperishable, which means it never goes away. You know, you might get part of an estate settlement of something, but that will rust, that will destroy, it will do whatever. It's uncorrupted, which means that it's completely pure. Now, this inheritance that you're going to get, it's completely pure. It's unfading, which means that it will never lose its delight. It will always be awesome forever. And then it says it's kept in heaven. Now, here's what's neat. When you give your life to Jesus, you can hope today because you know in heaven that you have an inheritance waiting for you. Hey, you would think, well, that's got to be heaven. You know, streets of gold, the mansions and all that. Hey, listen, that's all there. It's all being kept for you. It's awesome. It's all there. But by the way, have you ever thought why we walk on streets of gold in heaven? You know, right now we walk on what? Concrete and on pavement. It's not really that glamorous, is it? You know, like if I was to, when I proposed to Taryn, instead of giving her a diamond ring, what if I gave her a nice chunk of concrete on a ring? Probably wouldn't have been a good idea. You think so? It's almost like in heaven, you walk on streets of gold because there's something better in heaven than gold. And if everybody gets a mansion, it's almost like there's something better in heaven than a mansion. Gee, I wonder what that is. Or, gee, I wonder who that is. Can I tell you something? I like what the old preacher said. He said, buddy, if heaven was knee-deep in mud and freezing cold, I would still want to go there because of Jesus. Can I tell you what's awesome about heaven? The inheritance is spending eternity with Jesus Christ. That's the inheritance. It's spending an eternity with Jesus. That's why everybody gets to walk on gold. Everybody lives in a mansion. Everybody does this. Because the true treasure of heaven is not this stuff. It's Jesus. And we hope today because we know that we will be in heaven with Jesus for eternity. And we'll sit at His feet. We'll see Him face to face. We used to have this picture in our house of a man standing in the gates of heaven, and as he was coming in, there's a little poem that went with it too. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember the painting, and Jesus was hugging this man as he was coming into heaven. I thought it was the coolest picture, and I wish I could find it again. I don't know whatever happened to it, but it's just this man is being hugged by Jesus, just hugged by Jesus. And I thought, you know, that's what heaven's going to be like. Just the embrace of Jesus. The comfort of Jesus and in love with Jesus. I just think it's awesome. And that's why we hope. We're people of hope because we know that that ain't going to go away. That Jesus is there waiting for us. No matter what happens in this life, He's there for us. Ain't that awesome today? That He will be there for you. So no matter whatever happens to your family, whatever happens to your health, you still have a Jesus waiting to welcome you into heaven if you're saved today. Ain't that good news? That's why I want to be full of hope. Because I know it ends pretty awesome for me. It ends pretty awesome for me. And if you're saved, it ends pretty awesome for you if you're saved today. We also hope because of protection. We hope because of protection. Verse 5, you are being protected by God's power through a faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. As Peter encouraged suffering Christians that were hurting, he told them they were protected. Now, did that mean that they wouldn't have persecution? No. Actually, many of these very people that he said were protected lost their property unfairly and were killed for their faith. So were they not protected? No, they were still protected. But look what it says. It said, you are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This is what that means. The protection of God is on your spirit. It's on you waiting to get to heaven. When you give your life to Jesus, here's what's awesome. The Lord's power, and isn't it awesome that we are protected by God's power and not our power today? It's God's power that holds us, is what Peter says. It's God's power that does this. So when we give our life to Jesus, it's like the Lord holds us, and it's like he protects us and builds a hedge around us to make sure that we get to the other side. That he protects us and guides us to the other side. You know, even though in our life we may have failures and faults and things that we do that aren't right and things that are, we fall as Christians, isn't it good to know that we are eternally secured today by God's grace? Sometimes our sins can really mess with our head, but aren't you glad today that our salvation is not based on us, but on Jesus today? It's on Jesus. So we have a protection. And if we know that God lives in us and he's protecting us and guiding us, that you are in the Father's hand and nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand, John 10:28. If that is how it is, you have a hope today that he's never going to leave you. Next, we hope as we rejoice. This is what's awesome. He says, you rejoice in this, verse 6 and 7. You rejoice in this, though now for a short time you've had to struggle in various trials. Okay, they're going through hard time. They struggling. Anybody struggling today? We struggle. But then he says, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus. These people were having hard times, tough times. But Peter said, keep on hoping. And as you hope, also rejoice. Why? Because understand that hard times, struggles, difficult situations, God is very active in those things. You don't think he is, but he is. And he actually says that your faith is being refined, that he is doing something. When you're under fire, it's kind of like that block of gold is being melted only to get the impurities out of that block of gold for it to shine brighter. Now, we don't understand that. We sometimes cry, not fair. God, that's not fair that you're doing that to us. But here's the deal. He's growing us in those processes. You may not like it. You may cry about it at the time. I do too. But God is doing that. And he tells us that instead of complaining, we are to what? Rejoice. Boy, I don't know if I've learned to the full extent how to rejoice when things aren't going my way. Anybody else in Kenny Rager's boat today? I have learned how to complain and gripe a whole lot. I don't like what they're doing, blah, 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 blah. I don't care for that. Terrence says, since I turned 30, I'm just like an old man that just emerged out of my 20-year-old. You know, he complains and gripes. He's just my old age now is what Terrence jokes about me. She says, I'm becoming older every day is what she says. But here's the deal. We have to just refuse to be negative and to rejoice. And we have to understand that in the hardships, we still have hope. Therefore, we are to rejoice. Because, man, wouldn't it be awesome? Man, everything in my life is absolutely falling apart, but I just know God's using this for his good. Amen. Boy, that's tough. Boy, you can get on TV and smile and say that all day, but that's tough. But at the same time, it's where we desire to be, right? It's where we are longing to be at a spiritual point of maturity to where we can just sit back and say, man, this is really hard. We don't pretend that it's not hard. This is really tough. But I'm hoping and that God is using this to somehow shape me, to shape my family, that he's working on this somehow, some way. I'm just believing and having faith that he's working behind the scenes. And as a result of that, I choose to rejoice. Boy, we all need help in that. We all need help in that. That is really hard. But we hope as we and finally, we hope as we love. I like what Peter says. You love him, though you've what? You've not seen him. Anybody love Jesus, though you've never seen Jesus? And though not seeing him now, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. Did Peter forget that he was writing to suffering Christians? You receive inexpressible, glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. These Christians chose to love Jesus as they hoped in Jesus. They chose to love the Lord in spite of hardship. That their loving Jesus would not compromise. That they would love Christ. As we place our hope, a living hope that's real, that's active, our response today is to love Jesus in our hope. To love him. Kenny, I've never seen him, but that's okay. You still love him. And it says that we are receiving the goal of your faith. Now, how does that work? You receive the goal of your faith. Well, isn't the goal of your faith salvation? Doesn't that come at the very end when we go to heaven? So how are we receiving? Well, it's kind of like this. You are saved right now, and you're getting to experience the greatness and the joy of salvation. And as you walk in your salvation every day, you get a little bit closer to the end. You do. You get a little bit closer to the end. And it's almost like with every step, Jesus giving you a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, until you get to the finish line. And it's going to be awesome. We love him because he gives us. I like what my pastor used to tell me in our church. He said, you know, we know that there's hell on earth. You can look around and see horrendous evil things. There's hell on earth. And he always used to remind us that even though you see glimpses of hell on earth, actual hell is even worse than the glimpses of hell on earth. It's actually even worse than that. But he encouraged us, and he said, as you see glimpses of hell on earth, if you look through the eyes of Jesus, you can also see glimpses of heaven on earth too, right? You can see glimpses of heaven on earth. And here's what's awesome. This is just a taste of how good it will be then. When you experience the joy that you hear on earth, it's like with hell on earth. It's worse. Hell's worse than the hell on earth that's here. And you ready for this? Heaven is better than the heaven on earth here. Good stuff. So we hope. But here's the deal. You can be certain today that you live in hope. You can be certain and know that you have hope. But you have to choose today to live in that hope. I want to read you a story real quick. I read this in a book that I just finished last week, and it was an awesome story. I'd like to read this for you today. Just listen, if you will. Wayne Cordero, the author of the book Leading on Empty, tells a story, and I think it's so wonderful. He says, you may have heard this story about a man named Michael. Michael is a guy you'd really love. He is always in a good mood and has something positive to say. When someone asks him, how are you doing, Mike? He always replies, well, if I was doing any better, I'd have to be twins. If an employee was having a bad day, Michael was right there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of the situation. One day a friend went up to Michael and said, I don't get it. You can't be that positive all the time. Michael replied, well, here's the secret. Each morning I say to myself, Michael, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood, or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I say to myself, I can choose to be a victim to this situation or cave in. I can learn from it or be better. I choose to learn from it and be better. Every time someone comes complaining, I say to myself, I can choose to accept their complaining and be deflated, or I can choose to be positive and grow. Isn't that good? He says, I choose to be positive and grow. Okay, his friend said, you're right, but that isn't always easy, is it? Mike replied, no, life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is going to be a choice. You choose how to react to certain situations. You choose to be thankful or you choose to be worried. You choose to gain insight or you choose to be blinded by anger. You choose the life that you want to live. Over the next month, Michael's friend reflected what Michael had said. It goes on to say, as reflect over what Michael had said, and he thought about it. Several years later, he had heard that Michael had been involved in an accident where he fell from a communications tower. After 18 hours of surgery and intensive months of care, Michael was released from the hospital with rods in his back. His friend saw him a few years later and asked him. He said, "What's the deal?" He said, "Did you stay positive during that time or did you give up?" He said, "What's the deal? How did you handle? How was this situation?" And he goes on to tell the story that as he went to that hospital room, that he was okay in the paramedics and everything was all right. He thought he saw hope. And when he got actual to the operating room, all of the people were, their jaws kind of dropped. And he knew that it was pretty serious. And he says this. He says, "When they brought me into the operating room, I observed the faces of the surgeons and nurses and saw their distress over my situation. One of the nurses was barking out questions, one of which was, 'Are you allergic to anything?' And he said, 'Yes, I am.' And every eye stopped and they looked at me. And immediately I said, 'I'm allergic to gravity is what I'm allergic to.' Everyone immediately began to laugh. And then he said this. He said, 'Listen, I choose to live. So operate on this man as a man who is alive and not dead.'" Can I tell you something? Today, we choose either to hope in our situations or to live in despair in our situations. Be careful how you answer that. Because if you choose to live in hope or not to live in hope, you may very well be choosing whether to live in life or to live in death. Life Community, let's be full of hope. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus who conquered the grave and who died for us. And God, in this time now, Lord, we invite those that need hope today to come and to be recharged in hope. We invite those that don't know Jesus to come and to give their life to Christ and to be saved. And so, Father, move in a powerful way. God, let people be free to worship. Let people be free to come. And God, if someone today needs to make a decision, if they need to give their life to you, Lord, may they trust in Jesus who died on the cross and rose again. May they live in hope and not despair. So, Father, do a great work right now in this time of altar call, this time of invitation. May we just respond to you. Lord, we love you. Help us to be people of hope. Help us to choose to walk in hope today. Father, thank you for being so good. We are certain today that we have hope. So, Lord, we love you. Move in our midst. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. If you need to come and pray this morning, you come and pray. If God is working on your heart, you need to make a decision, you need to come give your life to Christ, I challenge you to do that. But choose today whether you're going to be a person of hope or despair as we sing.